17 right now. Only 17. 1708, Garden.
Good morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Pei Tes in Chulin. We are on Pei Ches Amud Aleph. We start with the Mishnah. Mishnah asks a simple question. Memem mechasen v'ma ein mechasen. We've been discussing now the sixth parak of Chulin for about a week. We're finishing up hopefully today. And one last topic to go. And what do you cover with? So the Torah is actually very clear. The Torah says that you're mechasen ba'afar. So you cover with dirt. So dirt would seem to be the that which is used. Okay? It's dirt in the mitzvah of Kisur Adam is a very high commodity. Okay? So b'mem mechasen v'ma ein mechasen. Mechasen be. So the Mishnah is going to give us a list of things that you can cover with, which you wouldn't necessarily consider to be dirt, but they qualify. Mechasen bezevel, so you could use manure. I'm sorry, zevel hadak. Fine ground manure. Uvechol hadak, sand. Fine sand. Sid, lime. Charasis, clay. Ulevena, and bricks. Uvemagufa, and a cover to a barrel. Shikitashan, but all of them have to be grounded up. Okay, so you get the basic point. Everything has got to be grounded up. But you can't use a coarse manure or coarse sand, or a brick or a lid cover, a barrel cover that was not ground up. You can't just simply turn a kli over and say, okay, I cover the blood. That's not going to work. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, here, let me give you a basic rule of how to categorize this in your head. He says, I'll give it to you very simple. If you can grow something in it, meaning like dirt, meaning if it has the properties like dirt, right? The tachlis, meaning its purpose. So another, yeah? You're hydroponics, right? Right. Well, I mean, but you got to put it in something though. Okay, but I understand what you're saying. But it's got to be something where if you could put seeds in it and plant in it, so that would work. That would be fine. But if you can't grow something in it, meaning it's not like a dirt-like property, it doesn't like have particles, so then it wouldn't be good. Now, basically, the Gemara is going to try to help us fine-tune what is exactly fine. What's the definition of finely ground? Okay. So the Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan. If the yotzer, right, the craftsman, if he doesn't need to grind it up anymore, so that's finely ground. Now the Igud Damascus Lahal Seif. Now some people say pretty much the same halacha, but instead of a commentary in the first part of the Mishnah, they use it in the commentary of the second part of the Mishnah, and it goes like this: Aval ein mechasen lo bezevel hagas v'lo bechol hagas. Now here, we're going the other direction, meaning we're modifying what's too coarse. Meaning previously, we were trying to modify, how do you define fine? Now we're trying to describe, how do you define coarse? So, well, if the yotzer needs to grind it up more. So the Gemara says now, there's going to be, right, the difference between whether you're modifying the first part of the Mishnah or the second part of the Mishnah, there's going to be a little bit of middle ground. Meaning what the Gemara has done now is basically gone from two ends of the Mishnah, either describing fine versus describing what's too coarse. So there's going to be a little bit of middle ground. The Gemara describes that middle ground where you don't need to grind it up anymore, but you just simply need to rub it in your hand. And if you rub it in your hand, it'll come apart. Now, which way are we going to go on this? So Rashi says it like this. Not everyone agrees to Rashi, but Rashi says it like this. Lishna kama, I'm reading Rashi, it's the first Rashi in the Gemara. Lishna kama dharma ein sarich kari chol hadak. Umutar hain nami bechal ein sarichu. V'toris chol hadak alav umutar. So according to the first Lashon of the Gemara, right where we were looking at it from the perspective of what's considered fine, where it's where the yotzer doesn't need to grind it up anymore. Here also, the yotzer doesn't need to grind it up anymore. Meaning just crumbling it in your hands, that's not a big deal. That's not considered grinding. And so consequently, that would mean then that this would be good as well, even if you still need to grind it up, but you don't need to grind it with a grinder. You can just do it with your hands. However, if you're going from the perspective of if you need to be kotesh and mortz, can still consider gas, this also, meaning even though you don't need a grinder, even though you needed to do it with your hands, but still, it needs to be pulverized more, it needs to be ground up more. So therefore it's considered a cholagas, and therefore it's going to be aser. Okay, so the Gemara says, based on these two lasharnas, we're going to have some sort of middle ground, which would be contingent on how we're going to learn the Mishnah. Tanu Rabbanan v'chisau yachlu yichasenu ba'avanim o yichapel alav asakli. Now, the Torah says yichasenu. Now, if we stopped right there, obviously we're not going to. But if we stop right there, you say, okay, cover, meaning whatever. Use a rock. Use a barrel. Just cover it. So tamalam rabbe afar. So that's the Torah says, no, be afar. It's got to be in dirt. Ve'enli ala afar. Now, if we are a literalist of the Torah without any Torah Shabbat Pev, so we would say, okay, dirt and nothing else. Minan le rabbo zevel hadak v'chol hadak u'shchikas avanu shchikas charasas v'nuras pishtan daka. How do I know to include a list of things, which most of them we've seen in our Mishnah already. Ground manure, ground sand, ground stone, ground earthenware, even flax, bundles of flax. Fine flax. Unisar shacharash and sawdust. We're now on the top of Peches Amud Beis. V'sid v'charas levana u'megufa shikitchan. Or you could use lime or bricks or a barrel lid that was ground up. Tamalam v'chisahu has to be covered. So, right, in other words, we'll see exactly how this drasha works. Right? Yeah, you're on the right track. It's going to be something which we haven't seen that often in the Gemara. Okay, so it's not fair. Not fair to let you guess. So yachol shani marba af zevel hagas v'chol hagas u'shchikas kli matchos levanu magufa shelo kishan v'kemech v'suvenu morsan. So okay, so as long as we're opening the door for all these other items. So how about coarse manure and coarse sand and ground metal? Right, like metal shearings, and bricks, and a barrel lid that is not ground up, and flour, and bran, and coarse bran. How about all those things? Tamalam rabbi afar. Okay, so the Torah says be'afar. Oh, okay, fine. So in other words, basically, what's working over here is that we have a ribu and we have a miut, meaning the v'chiso is telling us just cover it. Meaning, and it's not really. It's not limiting. On the other hand, we have the word ba'afar, which means in dirt, and that's obviously limiting. So we have like a ribui and a miut. All right, but right, it seems to be arbitrary that we're including some things and excluding other things. Umara'it, so the Gemara wants to know, hey, how did you do that? The Rabbah says, "Elu esol hosi eselu achash riba akas of a miut mar ba'ani eselu shein min afar umotzi eselu shein min afar." So the Gemara says like this: the things that we included are like dirt. Okay, and I guess we could take that thing we learned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and apply it over here. What does it mean? It's like dirt. It's like dirt in the sense that you can grow things in it, grow things from it. So it's dirt-like in its nature. All these other things we mentioned: the coarse sand, the coarse manure, the lid, right? The brick that wasn't ground up. So those are not dirt-like. You don't plant things in it. They don't have like the properties of dirt. So now the Gemara asks, Aaron, basically your question. Well, I understand. How is all this working? Meaning, isn't this stylistically klaloprat? Right? Methodologically, shouldn't it be klaloprat? So you say no. The Gemara is going to say no. Okay. So, okay, good. Okay, so good. So you're basically touching on the Gemara's answer. So the Gemara says, so isn't this klalu prat? Now we know if it were, let's just take a moment to pause. If it were klalu prat, what would that mean? So that would mean ein shebe klal ela ma shebe prat. The way klalu prat works is that klal is a generality and prat is a definition. And we know that's it. Prat defines the klal. So over here, that should be the case. It should be the case, says the Gemara. Klal should be defined by the prat. The prat is dirt. So the only thing that's acceptable for the mitzvah of Kisui Adam would be Alfar. So how come we don't operate, we don't look at this pasuk through the eyes of Klal Prat? And so the Gemara over here gives a answer. The Gemara says, Ema v'chisal klal alfar prat klal prat yin b'klal al-mash b'prat. Alfar yin midi achrin yilal. So Amar Rav Mari Mishurim da have klal hatsarich l'prat. V'kol klal hatsarich l'prat. Ain't done no so b'klal l'prat. Okay. So the Gemara gives an answer. Now it's not really clear what the answer of the Gemara is. I'll say it, and we'll take a look at Rashi. And Rashi over here will help us give a little bit of clarification. But I will tell you that Rashi is just the beginning of the discussion. You could look at Tosos. Tosos has a longer discussion of how to understand this. But we'll go right now, just for this morning, we'll go through Rashi. Klal atzarech laprat, the klal needs the prat. What does that mean? You, Phil, you see it. You see it so clearly; it's unbelievable. Yeah, I don't
understand. It's according to think of another klal prat where it tells you something,
right?
And it defines something. He doesn't define.
Right. Like recently, we had right kol sheir b'mayim, kol sheir shlo snapir v'kaskes, and anything in water, and then snapir v'kaskes. It's got to have fins and scales. So, right, anything in water means all animals. And then kol sheir shlo snapir v'kaskes. No, it's got to have fins and scales. In the water. So, the... okay, anyway, so let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi, klal tzarech l'prata lo sagale l'klal b'lav prata. Di avaksi v'chisa wa havei mashma yichafe alav esak li kediktani reisha v'yitzdur chafar la harosha in kisru zeh ela bedavar ha-mitari v'nivla bo kagon afar v'chayotze bo. So the way Rashi explains it's like this. In this particular case, v'chisa wouldn't have been enough. Meaning the Torah couldn't have stopped there. Without the next word in the Torah, we would just have no idea. Meaning when we look at Klal Prat, Klal by itself would have been sufficient. And then along comes the Prat, and the Prat says, no, not that, but rather we're going to define it. Generally speaking, you look at a Klal Prat, the Klal could have been self-standing. Along comes the pride and says, no, we're going to limit that which it is. Aval hacha, but over here says Rashi, demishtama klala betray nyane, meaning the klal could have gone in so many different directions. Meaning the Torah just simply says v'chisau, and cover. And at that point in time, like we would have, it's not that the Torah then says cover with anything, meaning it could have gone in so many different directions. Rashi says trey nyana, and two different matters. Beis kisuyin she'ein domim zeh lazeh kagon. For example, says Rashi, kisui davar shalem kagon kli v'kisui davar da kagon afar. It could have been that you have to cover it with a cup. Could have been that you have to cover it with dirt. Meaning, we just simply have no idea what we're supposed to do. Sulo asti prata ela lefrusha kisui kama dala b'davar shalem hu v'lav lemeute lagamre. I need the word offer because I need the Torah to come and tell me, cover it with something that's particles. Don't cover it with something that's whole and solid. So without the word ba'offer, I literally would not know where to go and what to do. So this isn't klal prat, because the prat over here is necessary just to tell me, right, what game we're talking about. Meaning, which ballpark are we in? And then once we know we're in the ballpark, then we could talk about, you know, further redefining. But right, so we need the klal needs the prat. This is what the Gemara refers to as klal tzarech laprat.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I say over the Rashi, I'm explaining the Rashi, and even as I explain it, I think to myself, yeah, that seems to always be true. So again, I'm telling you, take a look at Tosos over here. Tosos goes to work on Rashi. Tosos does not seem pleased with Rashi. Tosos gives a different understanding of the Gemara. Okay. We're back to the Gemara. We're not going to do Tosfos this morning, but I'm just acknowledging that, you know, it's homework for tonight. Darash Rav Nachman bar Rav Chista ein mechasen ela bedavar shezorim bo umatzmiach. That which you cover has to be able to promote growth. Okay, so like dirt. I mean, I know we seem to be making the same point again this morning, again and again, but this is Rav Nachman darshaning, meaning he's telling the people this is what you're supposed to do. So Amar Rava Haiborcha, so Rava says that's ridiculous. Now, that's not a literal translation of the words Haiborcha. Haiborcha, Rashi says, Eino Iker, Er Lashon Bor. right? It's an ignorant statement. Okay, not calling the person ignorant, but the statement seems to be ignorant. Correct. So Amalei Rav Nachman, Yitzchak Rav Amai Burchasa, Anamri Sanihale Umehamasi Samri Sanihale. So Rav Nachman defends. Rav Nachman says, no, that's not an ignorant statement. It's a very intelligent statement. In fact, I said it over and I said it like this. Hayamahalach Bemidbar Ve'ein Lo Ofer Lechasos. So you're in the desert and there's no dirt. Now, that's funny in of itself. You're in the desert. Correct. All right, good. I know, I just... When I translate the Gemara literally, it does sound funny. Right, correct. Right, it means you're in a desolate area. That's correct. So you're in the a place with no dirt, and yeah, you want a shecht and you want a cover. So shochek diner zahav u'mechase. So here's what you could do: you could take some money, take gold, right? Which I know we were just talking about gold before the daf. Take some gold. Here's a good use of gold. Talk about real investment. So grind it up and cover the blood with the ground up gold. And what if you're on a boat? Okay, now there you hear it. There's no dirt on the boat, right? And you're surrounded only by water. So what do? Sorif taliso mechaso, burn your talis. Okay, not right. Talis in the Gemara does not mean, you know, the religious article that we wear in shul. It means clothing, an article of clothing. So bishlam sorif taliso mechaso ashkechan eifrik dikra afar. So the Gemara says, you know what? I can understand how ashes is a substitute for dirt. We're gonna see that in Chumash, that ashes and dirt are fair substitutes of one another. Eladina zahav minalan. So what about dina zahav? Gold? Like where do you see that ground gold can actually substitute as dirt? Amar Rabbi Zera, v'afros zahav lo. Oh, you see that in the pasuk zahav can be connected with dirt. Afros zahav lo. Okay, and by the way, where do we find that Afer and Afer interchangeable? The Gemara does not say. Rashi does. Right? Well, the Afer of Afer doesn't tell us that they're interchangeable. So Rashi says, it's the first long line towards the bottom. Rashi says, Afer Srefa Sachatas. Take it from the dirt of the burnt Parah Aduma. Now, the burnt Parah Aduma, of course, is ashes. And the Torah refers to it as Afer. Yeah, but that doesn't show us it's interchangeable. We want to see, right? Rashi's trying to show us where it's interchangeable. Tanu Rabbanan ein mechasen ela ba'afar divrei Beit Shammai. Now, it's funny, we go back a step. Meaning, so far since the Mishnah, we've been talking about dirt substitutes. And there are a lot of acceptable dirt substitutes. But you go back now to the Tanaim, and not just Tanaim, but early Tanaim, Beit Shammai, Beis Hillel, and it's a machlokas. Machlokas is exactly what you could use. So Beit Shammai says you can only use dirt. Okay, we don't follow Beit Shammai, as everyone, of course, knows. But in other words, he's a literalist. He understands that. And maybe I'm just suggesting, maybe he does not agree with the klal hatzarich leprat concept that we brought up earlier, perhaps. Matzino efer shikari afor. Shenamar v'lachula tameh me afar strefa. And Beit Shammai says, no, what do you mean? First of all, ashes is a fair substitute. Ashes, dirt substitute. We find that in the Pesukim by Parshas Chukas.
So it seems like they only argue about ashes.
Right. Beit Shammai offers Srefa Ikre, offers Stama Lo Ikre. Now Beit Shammai, he knows his Pesukim, he knows Chukas. So what Beit Shammai is going to tell you is, no, go back to that Pasuk, it's offer Srefas. If the Torah says the words offer srefas, okay, that's a substitute for ashes. But by kisu adam, the Torah only says offer, period. Be'afar, in dirt. So, Beit Shammai says, I disagree. Beit Shammai offers srefa ikra, offers tamalo ikra. Tana, we learned in a braisa, osifu alehem, added to this list of things that you could cover, hashchur, hakol, v'nikras pisulin. Okay, I'm 0 for 3 in terms of what these are. 0 for 3. Right, Rashi says shchor is pchamim ketushim, ground up charcoal. Okay, nikrin pisulin Rashi, Alfar Shemenakrim Min HaRechayim.
From the mill.
Yeah, dirt from the mill. Okay. V'yesharmim Af HaZarnich. Now, Phil, if you can help me over here, that'd be great. Orphament. Okay, also. I'm with you. I feel the same way. Okay, and now we go into a little bit of Agadah for this morning, and we end off the perek with a little bit of Agadah. Anochi Amarava Bishasha Avram Avinu. Avram said, Anochi Afar Ve'efer, I am but dirt and ashes. Zachuban of Lishtei Mitzvah. So on account of that, his children merited two mitzvos, and they are notably Efer Para, the Afer Sota. So the ashes of Para and the dirt of Sota. Now the Gemara says, what are we doing over here? Meaning it's a little bit strange. We're looking for mitzvahs that have to do with dirt and we have to do with ashes, so we found those two mitzvahs. The Gemara says, interestingly enough, there are other mitzvahs that we could have recorded. So the Gemara says, okay, well, why, you know, we're learning Kisir Adam, we're in the sixth parak, so we're holding. Why not talk about the mitzvah of Kisir Adam? So the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Hasam Heksha Mitzvah Ika Hana Leka. I'm sorry. Hasam Heksha Mitzvah Ika Hana Leka. Because over there, meaning by the Afer Sota, so the let's go back. Right, Rashi, Hana Leka, B'mitzvah Zud, B'lav Kisu, Nami, Hava Mishtari Basa. Look, with this mitzvah of Kisu Adam, it's an important mitzvah. It doesn't really, there's no benefit from it. Meaning, I could still eat the meat. Now remember, the whole idea over here is that Avraham and his children got a special mitzvah. Now, we say special mitzvah, meaning that we got some sort of bumped up reward because of the modesty and humility of Avraham Avinu. So if we're looking at the mitzvah of Kisui Adam, there's no bumped up reward because it's a mitzvah and I don't derive benefit from the mitzvah. Right? We know that you can eat the animal even if you didn't do the mitzvah of Kisui Adam. You missed the opportunity of the mitzvah, but you can still eat the meat. Rashi continues to write, Aval, be'efer pari ikahanasha mitaro mitumaso dilav efer ein lotar alamis. There is the benefit of the paraduma. Without the paraduma, we'll be tummy indefinitely. In fact, unfortunately, we are. Right. We don't have the benefit of the paraduma. Okay, it'll come. Right? With the coming of Mashiach. So fine. So that provides a hana benefit to us. And offer sota matel shalom bein ish leishto v'nikta v'nizra azera. And the benefits of the dirt of the sota. So Rashi says there's a lot of benefits. First of all, make shalom bayis, right? What better benefit than that? And not only that, but she'll produce a child, right? V'nikta, if in fact she did not have an affair, v'nizra zera, she'll have a child as a result of this. So we're looking for ashes and dirt that provide a benefit, and that's why we're not going to be talking about Kisui Adam. The Gemara continues. Va'amarava b'skarshamarva Avram Avinu. We're on the top of Peites Amud Aleph. Im michut v'ad sruch na'al zachuban of l'shtei mitzvos l'chut shel tchelis uritzua shel tefillin. Okay, so Avram, another time where he made a very impressive statement, which is after winning the war and really entitlement to spoils of war, like any victor of a military battle. Avram says, I'll take nothing. I will take nothing. And he says it in the form of imichut v'ad sruch na'al. I won't take it from chut, from a thread, sruch na'al to a shoelace. I will take nothing. So as a result of that, the Gemara tells us that, again, banav zoche l'shtei mitzvos. His children will be zoche for two mitzvos, shchut shel tcheles, tzitzis, and ritzua shel tefillin. Bishlama ritzua shel tefillin. By the way, I heard... I don't have a source for this. You know, we don't wear tefillin all day, right? Okay, there is a mitzvah to wear tefillin all day, and we don't. It has to do with the fact that it's very hard to be in a state of tahara and kedusha, to be wearing your tefillin all day, especially for those of us who go to work. It's very difficult. So we don't. So what do? We wear it a limited time. What's the limited time that we wear it? So we wear it during shacharis. Okay, the simple svari you can give, why shacharis? Well, you know, Zrizim akdim la mitzvahs, meaning, you know you're not going to wear it all day, so take advantage of the mitzvahs as early as you can. So that could be one thing. I heard, again, I don't know where I heard this from, based on this gemara that we're learning right now, in Chulin, it could be that there's a special attachment between the mitzvah of tefillin and Avram Avinu. We know that Avram Avinu was misaking shacharis. So it could be that special relationship between tefillin and Avram Avinu is another source in terms of why we chose shacharis to put on the tefillin. Bishlam arutzu ashel tefillin k'siv eru kol amei aretz kishem Hashem ekra lecha. V'tanya rev lazar gadol amei elu tefillin shabarosh. So I understand that by tefillin, so there is hana. There's a benefit. There's a real benefit to tefillin, and that is nations look at us and nations fear us. So, okay. So, Elo Tzvon Shabarosh. So, Elachut Shal Tcheles Mahi. What is the Hana'a? What's the benefit of Tzitzis? Again, every mitzvah, obviously there's schar, there's reward. But we're talking about actual tangible benefits that you get while living in this world. Elachut Shal Tcheles Mahi, Detanya Rabbi Meirom, Merman Ishtana Tcheles Mikolat Tzivonim. Mim Neshe Tcheles Domele Yam, V'yam Domele Rekia, V'rekia Domele Evan Sapir. The evidence appear domela kisei hakavod, right? We are all familiar with the progression of how the color of the tchelis looks like the ocean. Ocean reminds us of the sky. Sky reminds us of the evidence sapir, the sapphire. And the evidence appear similar to the kisei hakavod, dechsiv, vayuas aloke yisov v'tachad raglav, uksiv kemare evidence sapir demus kisei. The kisei hakavod has a sapphire look to it, to the best degree that we can understand that. So, okay, and good. Now let's finish the sentence. So, how is that a benefit? So, so good. So, how is that a benefit? Rashi writes, Rashi shatchilas dom layam, hachilasam in ayam hu otsa achas l'shivim shana. Oh, I'm sorry, ola achas l'shivim shana, omar is damo dom layam, v'yam eno roe shu dom l'rakia, v'rakila sapir, v'sapir l'kisa, kavad yachsi v'tachas raglav kemase levna sapir, v'u kesam ha-shamayim, alma shamayim domo m'sapir, v'sapir hu kisa, kavad yachsi v'kemarev in sapir demus kisa, k'sha karsh baruch hu mistakal b'kisa, kavad shalo, nizkar b'mitzvah zu, shi keneged kol ha-mitzvos. It's hard to understand, really hard, difficult to understand what exactly the benefit is. The way Rashi seems to suggest it is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at his Kisei HaKavod, he's reminded by all the mitzvos. I don't fully understand how that is a tangible benefit for us. Right, it reminds... It's as if you're doing all the mitzvos. I hear you. It doesn't seem that that's what Rashi's saying. Correct. Right. Understood. In the Gemara's context, it is. Because in the Gemara's context, the Gemara says that we get a special reward because Avram Avinu referenced these particular mitzvahs. There's a reward for every mitzvah. Schar va'onish, every mitzvah has a self-contained reward. But we're looking at Hana in the sense of what practical benefit do we get? So previously we were talking about Shalom Bayis, we were talking about the ability to walk in the Beis HaMikdash. That's tangible benefits. In the case of tefillin, fear and awe of the other nations of us. That's tangible benefit. I don't fully understand how what the Gemara is pointing to when it says the Hana of Tzitzis. Okay. What, the story where he cut different story.
Yeah, he was crying, and he's crying because even though I wouldn't be able to fulfill the.
I never heard the story.
The benefit because when God sees
Right.
Okay, so he thinks of doing, it's equivalent to all the mitzvahs, it's, so it's a benefit for...
Okay. Okay, all right. I'm Rabbi Abba Kasha Gazal HaNechal Shafil Tzadikim Gemurim Enechom LaHachzira. Now, we mentioned the story of Avram Avinu and him going to war. And he said, I will take nothing. Okay? But if you read on the Pasuk over there, you will see, except, right, Avram Avinu does say that. Except, but you understand though, because I'm going to take nothing, but the people who went with me, in other words, right, what's due to them? Right, give them their chelek, but I myself will take nothing. So the Gemara is now commenting on this part of the story. So I'm Rabbi Abba Kasha Gezal Nechal. Right, if you steal something and you eat it, right, that's difficult. Difficult, difficult because yeah, you can't. Yeah, you can't give it back. Right. Even Sadiq and Gemurim can't return it. It's so interesting. Look at the way the Gemara phrases it. Even Sadiq and Gemurim, even complete Sadiq can't return it. Now let me ask you a question.
How do
they get to the point of being Sadiq and Gemurim if they're right now facing the dilemma of not being able to return something they actually stole?
I mean, they fell down a few rungs.
I understand. Excuse me. Okay. Right. Choked on my own question. I understand the point that Gemara is making. It's just the term Sadiq and Gemurim, certainly a funny term. Although you could say, you could talk about, what is the Rambam? Rambam divides Tshuva into two parts. There's Tshuva and Tshuva Gemura, right? Tshuva Gemura, Yumamish. But the problem over here is you can't return that which you actually stole. You find Avram Avinu in that spot where Avram Avinu says, look, in other words, I'm not going to take anything, I won't do anything, but the Na'arim, the people who went, the young men who went with me to war, they took and they ate and I can't return what they took. So Amar Rav Yochanan Mishim Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon Kol Makom Sh'ata Motzei Dvarav Shel Rabbi Elazar Beno Shel Rabbi Yosi Aglili Behagada Asei Aznecha Ke'afar Cheses. Whenever you hear drush coming out of the words of Rabbi Elazar Beno Shel Rabbi Yosi Aglili, your ear should be like a funnel. Like, pay careful attention. And the drush goes like this. Lo merubichem mikol ha'amim chashak Hashem b'chem. Right? Towards the beginning of Sefer Devarim, we read this a number of weeks ago in Parsha. So, it's the simple pshat on the pasuk is, Akash Baruch Hu doesn't like you, didn't choose us, so to say, because we're so many. We're not. What are we? 0.5% of the world population? Less. I think we're less now. Yeah, in Boca, we're such a big part of the. But in the world population, we're small. So the simple pshat of the pasuk is we're tiny population. Am la Akash Baruch Hu liYisrael choshkani bechem shafil b'shah shani mashpiel lechem gedula. Atem mim'atim atzmechem lefanai. I'm going to give another pshat in the pasuk, and it goes like this. When I make you great, you're still small. Meaning that we are good at humility. Okay. Now, and the Gemara is going to give examples of this. Now, sati gedula la'Avraham. Look, I made Avraham great. Avraham was one of the greatest peoples of his generation. And meanwhile, Amar lefanai va'anochi afar ve'efer. Avram says, I'm dust and ashes. LeMoshe ve'Aaron Amar v'nachnu ma. And regarding Moshe and Aaron, and their response is, what are we? LeDavid Amar va'anochi tola'as v'lo ish. David in Tehillim says, I'm but a worm. Aval ovde kochavim eino kain. You'll see that greatness given to the Ovdei Kochavim of the world, and they run with it. They take the gedula, and the Gemara gives examples. Now, sati gedula leNimrod Amar Havaniv Nalanu Ir. So Nimrod, first leader of the generation, first great man of history, and he says, "Okay, now let's go build a tower, and let's go fight God." LeFaro Amar Mi Hashem. Paro was given greatness, and he actually contests God. Sancheriv Amar mi b'chol elokei haratzos. Same story with Sancheriv. Nebuchadnezzar Amar Ale Abamte Abamase Av. Nebuchadnezzar says, I'll go up there, I'll go fight. Lechira Melechzor Amar Moshav Elokim Yashavti Belev Yamim. I was able to settle on the same place that God did. Amar Rav Avitim Rav Yochanan Gadol Shanamar Bamoshav Aaron Yosem Imashanamar Baavraham. Who has more humility? So the Gemara says, Moshe and Aaron. I'm not sure if the Gemara is making an actual judgment call, but in terms of what they said, Moshe and Aaron is more impressive. Because Avram says, look, I'm dirt and ashes. He, at least he compared himself to something, granted something that's low and something that's not really, has a lot of worth to it. But, you know, he did say something. And Moshe and Aaron says, what are we? Meaning, mamish, nothing, gornished. The world, the zechus of the world rests on Moshe and Aaron. Ksiv hacha v'nachnuma uksiv hasam tola eretz al bilima. Gonna get used to that. We're gonna hear that a lot over Yamim Noraim. Amar Rabbi Elai in olam miskayim ela b'shvil mishe bolam es atzma b'shas meriva. The world sustains itself based on people who are quiet during a fight. Shenamar tola eretz al bilima. The world is suspended al bilima. Bilima, the Gemara plays on the word bilima and the word bolem, right? Kind of like the word elaim, right? Someone who's quiet, someone who's silent. Rabbi Abba Amar Misha Mesim Atzmo Kemisha Eino. Someone who's so small and so humble that it's like he's not even there. Shenamar mitachas ra'os olam. He's like, the expression we use is he's under the radar. Amar Rav Yitzhak my dechsiv. Hamnam ilaim tzedek tidbaru meisharim tishpetu b'nei adam. The craft of the ilaim, of the one who is mute, tzedek tidbarun. He's going to speak righteousness. Meisharim tishpetu b'nei adam ma umnaso shel adam ba'olam hazeh. Yasim etzmo ki ilaim. A person should make himself like a mute. Yochel af ledivrei Torah. Okay. That's, you know, when the conversation is just a mundane conversation. What about Torah? So the Gemara says, Tamalomer tzedek tidbarun. No. When it comes to Torah, which is tzedek, tzedaka, right, tzadik, tzidkus, so now, then you should talk. Right? Then you have not only a right to talk, but an obligation to talk. Yochel yagiz da'ato. What about being a little bit arrogant in his Torah study? So the Gemara says, Tamalomer meisharim tishpetu b'nei adam. No, meisharim are the plains. Meaning, you should talk in Torah, but don't be arrogant in Torah. Okay, finishing up the Agadata. A couple more points of Halacha. And we're going to finish, God willing, the Perek. Yeah. So, the Gemara starts off like this. Mechasim ba'ofer ir hanidachas. Okay, we all know the Halacha. We just read about in the Parsha a couple weeks ago. So, you have a subverted city. Most of the members of the city are Oved Avodah Zarah. Okay, what happens? So the people who are actually Oved Avodah Zarah, so they're put to death, right? A special form of Misa for the members of the Ir HaNidachas who are Oved Avodah Zarah. And then you take the Shalal Ha'ir, everyone's property in the city, collect it into the middle of the city, and you burn it. And it's going to create a big pile of ashes. Says the Gemara, you could take this dirt and ashes, and you could use it for the mitzvah of Kisrei Hadam.
That's for all the people you just cut their heads off?
Huh?
For all the people that you just...
Well, the people who are over to Avodah Zarah, you kill them.
Right.
So right, and you bury them. No, you don't. No, no, they don't get... No, the burning is only for the possessions. They don't...
No, but you want to cover their graves with ashes?
No. It's separate. Two separate issues. The judgment and execution of the people is one issue, and then the burning of the property is a totally separate issue. Not to be confused. The Gemara is going to essentially deal with Danny's question. Danny wants to know, wait a second, you can't do that. It's Avodah Zarah. So, Isur Hanam. Mechasim ba'afir anedachas v'amai. The Gemara says, I don't understand. Isur Hanahu. You're not allowed to get benefit from this. So what are you doing? So Amr Zira lo nitzrucha ela afar afra. So the Gemara's first answer is afar afra. No, not the actual ashes. You're right. The actual ashes itself.
No,
Okay, so that's the next point of the Gemara. You're one step ahead. Okay, so I'm just gonna roll you back. Ella afar afra. So the first answer of the Gemara is that you went to the dirt, not the part underneath, not the part that was burnt. You're right. Asar hana. The dirt underneath, that's what you're covering. Dechsives kol shalatik boats el torch chova. Visarafta. Mishena mechusa ala kvitsa v'strefa. Yatsasesha mechusa talisha kvitsa v'strefa. Meaning it's not in the category of Isser Hana, the dirt underneath, because that which becomes Isser Hana is only that which requires to be gathered. If I were to get the dirt of the city, I'd have to uproot the dirt, bring it into, you don't have to do all that. You just simply need kvitsa just to gather that which is on the ground and bring it into the Rechov Ha'ir. Okay. That's answer number one, Afar Afra. Answer number two, Rava Amar Mitzvos Lav Lahenos Nitnu. What are you worried about? Isser Hana? You're right. The ashes of the ear, Hanidachas, are also Bahana. Okay. But now let's move on to the next point, which is, you're doing a mitzvah with those ashes. Mitzvos Lav Lahenos Nitnu. That when it comes to a mitzvah, we're not benefiting from a mitzvah. I know this seems to be in total contradistinction to what we learned earlier this morning, that some mitzvahs we benefit from. But the truth of the matter is, some mitzvahs we do benefit from, right? The Gemara's examples that we gave earlier, right? The Afra Sota. Okay, so we benefit from it. Shalom Bayis, having a child. Okay, but generally speaking, though, you don't benefit from a mitzvah. Obviously, there is a reward stored for the individual who does a mitzvah. But that's not a tangible benefit in this world. In this world, there is no hana that comes from a mitzvah. So you want to do the mitzvah of Kisur Adam, and you want to use the ashes of Iron Idachas, it's fine.
Well, the benefit is that
did you say go
to
work and
burn again?
You're
somewhere to look something else.
Okay, I guess so, but it's not direct. I hear what you're saying, but it's not direct enough. Yosef Ravina v'kamar l'alash ma'ita yitzvei Rav Nechum ila Ravina shofar shel avodos kochavim lo yitaka. So if you have a shofar of avodah zara, so don't use it on Rosh Hashanah. Okay, I hope mine is fine. So my love in taka lo yatsa. So the Gemara says now, from that statement, it sounds like, well, not only shouldn't you do it, but it's not going to work. So the Gemara says lo im taka yatsa. So the Gemara says that's not correct. No, if you blow with such a shofar, it would work. You're using something that you're not allowed to get benefit from for the mitzvah of shofar? And the answer is, you can. You're allowed to. Because we're doing a mitzvah. Mitzvah is not a hana. Mitzvah is not a benefit. It's not a tangible, physical benefit that we receive in this world. And so the answer simply is, you may. You may do so. L'chatchila, you shouldn't. Why not? Rashi gives a very simple svara. Pasnished. Rashi doesn't use those words. I mean, that's, you know, not everyone here speaks Spanish. But it's mios. It's right. It's not right. Just simply, it's not right that you're going to be using a shofar shel avodah zara. But does it work? The answer is yes, it is, because it's not hana. There's no hana for the mitzvah. V'hatanya, we looked at another brisa. Sorry, I skipped. Sorry. Lulav shal avodas kochavim lo yitol. So again, same story. Lulav of avodas zara, you cannot take. So my love, imnata lo yatsa, lo imnata yatsa. So the Gemara says, no, if you take it, you're going to be yotze. V'hatanya, taka lo yatsa, nata lo yatsa. So the Gemara says, wait a second, we have a brisa, and the brisa says very clearly that if you're tokeya, you're not yotze. If you take the lulav of avodas zara, you're not yotze. So, right. Your interpretation of the brisa clearly cannot be correct, because this brisa says flat out that you're not yotze, neither with a shofar and neither with a lulav of avodah zara. Amar Rav Ashi hachi hashta. So the Rav Ashi says, fundamental answer coming up right now, shiura bi'inan. Did I skip a word? Yes. Hasam shiura bi'inan va'avodas kochavim ketuti mechta shiure. Hacha koma de mechtat Ma'ale lekisui. So the Gemara says like this. No, there's really a fundamental difference. That when it comes to shofar, when it comes to lulav, you're right. Meaning Rava's rule is absolutely correct. There's no problem of benefiting, because mitzvahs lav lahenos nitnu. Mitzvahs are not given to us for benefit. So in theory, I could use a shofar and I could use a lulav. There's another issue, which is a lulav, there's a height requirement. Right? First Mishnah, third Perek of Sukkah. The Mishnah over there says that if you want to use a lulav, it has to be, the Mishnah says three tfachim, but we know it's really four tfachim. Okay? Trust me. Right? The Mishnah over there says kedela na neabo, and the Gemara says uchedela na neabo. Okay? So four tfachim high. So your lulav's got to be, what is that, about 12 inches high? Approximately. Well, 12, 16. Okay? Chazanish, chayna. Okay, anyway, you're also getting ready for that as well. So the... So when it comes to a lulav, there's a height requirement. Same thing with a shofar. There's also a minimum amount that you need of a shofar, right? What is it? So you got to be able to hold it in your hand, and you got to see a little shofar coming out of both ends. Okay, no one uses a shofar that small, but that's the minimum requirement. So when we are taking something from the ira nidachas or from avodah zarah for that matter, the halacha is it requires to be pulverized. It needs to be destroyed. Okay, now this is important, and this is subtle. And we spoke about this a number of times already before in the Daf Yomi. Just because I need to pulverize it, I need to destroy it, doesn't mean it no longer exists. It still does, but just not in a unit form. It exists...
As if it was already...
Right, as if it's pulverized already.
Would you pulverize it
after
use it?
Huh?
Let's
put it this way. If I could use it in its pulverized state, so then it'd be fine.
No.
Would
you use it? Would you be able to pulverize it?
No. Rashi anticipates your question. Rashi says that because of the requirement to pulverize it, we're going to look at it right now as if it's already pulverized. So when it comes to shofar, when it comes to lulav, so it's avodah zara. That means it's not the shear. And even though right now it is the shear, but I have to burn it, I have to destroy it, I got to pulverize it. So right now it's not the shear. What about kisui hadam? You see, there it's going to work. Because there, that's exactly what I need. I need something powder. I need something pulverized. So it would work there as well. And the truth of the matter is that now that you, this is what's called ketute mechtat shiure. Huh?
Because it's going to be pulverized.
That's very good, Phil. I was thinking the same thing myself, right? It's Phil. What Phil's asking is, knowing that you have to pulverize it, right? Can you use it right now in its whole state?
It did not give the example of effort because of that.
Right. I'll tell you, Phil. Another example. It's brought down. I forget where it's brought down. Oh, my memory's great today. I forget where it's brought down. What about using? Tomorrow I'll remember better. What about using, branches of avodah zarah for schach, right? So there, I forget where this is brought down. It's not in the Gemara. So by schach, right? You don't need a unit. You don't need an organic whole. So the post can say, you could use it as long as you're able to use it in its pulverized state. So then you'd be fine with it. Okay, Hadron Lach Kisui Adam. That is the end of the sixth parak. Tomorrow, God willing, Shabbos, we begin the seventh parak of Chumash.